Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And now I have also started booking about an hour after the show as well, off air, to upload directly to the YouTube channel. And it's quite interesting, the dynamic here. When you've got, I don't know what I'm doing, first of all. You know, some people call me a radio show host. Some people call me an investigative journalist. I don't know. I never call myself that. Heck no. I don't know nothing. I ain't got no training. I just talk to people, okay? Especially people that disagree with each other. They'll both talk to me, but they'll completely ignore each other. And that way I'll get some kind of thing like perspective, right? I don't squeeze people out because of reputation, what have you. I do actually listen, of course, when people say someone's got a bad reputation, but it doesn't stop me from having a quick conversation with them or something like that. You know, you never know. The reputation might be misgiven. And in some cases, and in fact, in a lot of cases, people's bad reputations are usually true, which is real sad. But anyway, I got this email last night. From an angry listener. I uploaded this video with Victor H. Fisher, PhD, and we were talking about cannabis and the effect on the brain. And he was of the opinion that it it does damage the brain, and when any kind of damage to brains occur, I mean, this happens with everything, you know, alcohol, caffeine, it all destroys brain cells and what have you. So it's not terribly surprising to me, but, you know, there was a bunch of evidence that he was allegedly going to lay out, or so the listener thought. And it was only a short clip out of the whole interview, about an hour and a half or odd. And she was very upset with me and claimed that it was my agenda I had some kind of agenda to, censor the truth about cannabis and damage and all of that kind of stuff, because her main bag is bagging on anybody who has any positive opinion or research or anything like that regarded to drugs of any kind, and blames it for all poverty, all everything, this, that, and the other, in a very myopic way. And that was really... when you see things, even if you're a radio show host... Even if you're supposed to be desensitized to it or whatever, if you do actually read these things that people say about you, and it's not true, you automatically get the sense of inflammation, and sometimes you get upset, which is why most of the time I will delete or bounce those kind of angry, stupid emails that are very obvious just at a glance, so that I don't feel the full force of somebody else's insanity, basically. I've gotten enough of my own. So when we are communicating with each other, I'm conscious of the fact that sometimes I fly off the handle and say things I don't mean. And usually the following email is, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I didn't want to. I was getting a bit emotional. I'm sorry. You got to be one with your mistakes, and you got to take ownership of them, at least, because if we don't take personal responsibility for it, something as simple as the words that come out of our mouth, or the tirades that come out of our YouTube channels, then what are we fighting for? I don't understand the mentality. Where's my kind of payoff here? How am I supposed to like get something out of this conversation? That's what I'm always thinking. Okay, if I'm talking to and incidentally, this is the other thing that I wanted to talk about. Speaking of payoffs, that very night I was feeling upset, and I wrote her back these lengthy emails explaining who I am, what I've done, and that I'm not just a radio show host and all this stuff. Da 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 da. If you know me, you know. But I then get a message from a guy named Alex Hunter in Canada. And he was a great guy. He's on These Changing Times radio, along with my friend Patrick Lynch and Patty M. Walking Turtle. Great people over there in England. They're running this little radio website and live streams, things like that. And I wanted to, he sent me this long message, right? And it's huge. You know how some people, they'll send you an article and a message or something, but I don't have the time. I can't read articles. I can't watch people's long videos or anything like that. I literally don't have the time. If it's long enough or whatever, I'd much rather just go to the person who made that video or wrote that article and bring them on the show for an hour or two or something like that. That way it's a lot more free flow and a lot less work for me. And also it means I actually get to know the person, and so do you. So here was the thing. I said to him that. So he's like, okay, well, and I said, have you got 15 minutes to do just a quick rap or something like that? He's like, yeah. And we get on, and we just start joking around and having fun and stuff like that. And I just remember, okay, well, sorry, man, we're going to start the recording now. Okay, so how much time have you got? Oh, I'm over 15 minutes. Okay, cool. And we went, and about 2.5 hours later, we're still going at it, just talking to each other long into the night. Because you find other people who agree with you on things, okay? Especially if you're looking for them. If you're looking for points to disagree with people, on the other hand, you'll be surprised how quickly your circle of friends starts to shrink. I noticed that. And it happens to a lot of activists. They'll get it in their head for whether real or imagined reasons, okay? It matters not that somebody else is a bad person. And they start spending their time and their energy attacking and exposing those bad people instead of spending their time and their energy interviewing and promoting the people that represent the stuff that you do want to see. Okay? It's a remarkably different way of doing things. You can either look backwards at all these people who have ever shafted you, who have ever lied to you, who have ever destroyed parts of your infrastructure, country, sovereignty, health, intelligence, etc. You can be upset about all that. But I'll tell you what, if you're spending all your time attacking it and going after it, what you're doing is you're feeding it energy. Instead, you feed your energy to the people who not only take your energy, but rebound it back onto you. Kind of like playing ping pong, if you will. Doesn't take a heck of a lot of energy to bash a little ping pong ball around and have an awful lot of fun, don't you? That's how a conversation's supposed to be. And that's why I don't have these problems that most people have with, I want to prepare for so many hours before a show and such and such and such. Because I don't, that's not how I do things. I don't read legislation. I don't go through the documents. This is not my game, mate. My game is just talking to people, finding out what the heck they think. You know, is there something wrong with that? I want to know how everybody thinks by asking them honestly and openly how they think. Anybody can fault that? I hope not. Because I get on a whole lot of people on this show, and the other week we had Penny Bright on, and there was just this real lambasting, as I mentioned in the first place, on the show itself, there was a lambasting of Penny Bright, and hence the reason why she came on the show. And sure enough, as I expected, because people are so predictable these days, there was, of course, copious quantities of YouTube comments, Facebook posts, and things like that, lambasting her further. I was just thinking, you know, this is the kind of people we're dealing with. Somebody comes out, tells the truth, asks some reasonable questions. You don't answer the reasonable questions. Instead, you start attacking them. What's the mentality behind that? What exactly are you trying to achieve? You're trying to say people can't question anybody else in our movements? Are you trying to say it's disrespectful because somebody's done such and such a things, therefore they cannot be questioned about anything if they're an activist? Is there some kind of immunity for people in higher up levels of activist organizations? Like if they run the website or whatever, you must protect them, otherwise you'll lose your website. I mean, what is it trying to gain out of here, you know? Ki bono, who benefits? And I don't have a terribly large amount of opinion one way or the other on that, but I have invited the Lady Linda on the show. You know, I'm going to give her the same opportunity that I gave Penny to speak her case, and I'm going to do the exact same thing with her that I did with Penny, just agree with her on what I can on and not contradict her make it be hard on her or anything like that. That's not what this show is about. This is the holiday channel, basically, of the truth movement. If you are listening to this show with a cocktail in your hand, that's about the right mood level. You should be able to enjoy and laugh about this kind of information. Otherwise, how in the heck are you ever going to come up with any sort of mental tool or coping mechanism to survive it, going down to a psychiatrist and getting some kind of toxic medication that'll turn you insane and make you drown your children in the middle of the night after acting out one of your worst nightmares. Okay? You've got to find some kind of coping mechanism, preferably something that doesn't destroy you. And a lot of people agree, and it's not that difficult to see why, that comedy is the great release here. It's basically the only thing we got left is satire, because things are so dark that and heads are going to roll, that the only kind of humor that's really going to suit it comes from the gallows. This is the world I see, and I don't know why other people don't see it. There is they might not have experienced enough Bill Hicks or Lewis Black or George Carlin in their life, guys who have had, you know, amazing and terrible experiences happen to them. People who might be incredibly angry about things that are being done to other people as well. And you find out how to laugh about it. And they're the greatest comedians because they do talk about things that are very, very real. And yet the realness of it, instead of making you terrified, instead of making your heart palpitate with sheer horror, as this information can do, you instead laugh about it. And it creates a positive association, I believe, with the truth and, you know, how you should live your life. Because if you're not smiling, if you're not emitting so much as a cackle on a daily basis, you know, just one wee cackle, then your life can't be that grand. And you will probably die a lot sooner. One of my our listeners, one man in Trinidad and Tobago, his old grandmother goes down to the pub every day with her friends, smoking copious quantities of cigarettes, drinking a half bottle of scotch a day, and she's like 94 or something, and she'd been doing it all her life. And I asked him, okay, so she's doing this, she's hanging out with her mates all the time, she's drinking, she's smoking, is she laughing and smiling the whole time? He's like, well, yes, she is. I said, there's your answer. You want to survive longer, ladies and gentlemen, learn how to laugh at all the things that are trying to kill you, because then they lose their power and give it back to you from whom they stole it. Stop giving your energy to these vampires. You have to invite them in. Close that door and open another one. Find another person. Because as soon as I got abused and angry with this one person, I found another person who was willing to be happy and talk with me for hours on end. You can do the same. You've just got to make sure that you're open to it. Don't say, oh, I don't have the time to reply to this Facebook message. I don't have the time to have that Skype call, because it takes the same amount of energy and time to make an excuse for why you don't have the energy and time than the energy and time it would take you to actually make the call and the Skype message in the first place. So take the opportunity. Make a connection. We'll be right back after the break.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone. Our needs are now different, and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone. The world we knew is gone.
Gentlemen, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can search for Vinnie Eastwood Chat if you dig it, my ladies and gentlemen, because you can join the other guys in there. And also, after the show each day, we have a Skype chat with the listeners. So if you want to, take part in the conversation, you know, talk to me or listen to me or whatever, it's kind of like the real radio show, if you will. Usually right after the show, we'll just start up a Skype call and you can talk with other truthers from all over the world. And you know what? It makes you feel like you're not alone anymore. My very special guest, speaking of which, is from Canada. His name is Alex Hunter. Alex, welcome to the program. Otherwise known, a.k.a. Captain Chemtrail.
Thanks, Vinny. How are you?
You know, somewhat fabulous.
You deliver the news better than anybody, my friend. You keep it light and happy. And what we were talking about last night when we were chained up in the basement of the tower, my dad and I were laughing about that this morning. It was quite good.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, so I'll provide the context for the listeners, shall I? Well, you're talking last night about how even in the darkest of the dark situations, you know, you can still find comedy. And I likened it to the situation of the life of Brian, those two guys who are chained up on the wall and stuff like that, having to go at each other. It's just hilarious. And just make a comment like, you know, if my leg fell off, you know, you make some kind of joke or something, you know, it'd be hilarious. And I go, hey, yeah, well, absolutely, man, I would. Because if your leg fell off, I'd say, mate, I can't argue with you anymore. You're just not credible. You go, why not? So, because you haven't got a leg to stand on. So there we are.
And the fly, what's a fly when he loses his wings? Because I was saying, you know, you can keep me laughing even if my arms... sort of one of them fell off. You could make a joke about it or something, and then I'd be hanging there, and I'd laugh. And then the other one might fall off, and I'd be hanging by maybe one leg or something upside down, and you'd still have something funny to say.
Yeah. Like, what's a fly called if it doesn't have any wings? A wart. Right. What's a fly called if it doesn't have got any wings or no legs? A sit.
Precisely. We'd be in good company.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those of you, for those who don't know who you are, would you explain just a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
Sure. Okay. I was a special effects guy and artist. I did tattooing when I was younger, and so I've been doing that about 30 something years. And I did special effects in the movie industry. I was the on-set special effects assistant on a TV series here in Vancouver, British Columbia, called The Crow, Stairway to Heaven. And I was a passenger going through a green light in a car to one of the biggest business deals of my life as an inventor. And a guy ran a red light at 55 miles an hour in a Jeep Cherokee and hit my door, the passenger side, and without braking. So I couldn't get admission to the hospital here until I showed up the ninth time with meningitis. And I recognized instantly it was a conspiracy because the province of British Columbia, their insurance corporation of British Columbia, ICBC, is the auto insurance monopoly here, or was at the time at least. They've opened it up to some kind of alleged competition, but it isn't. It's just more bait and switch. They are owned by the province, as is the medical and legal system. So I've needed spinal surgery for 14 years. My skull was hanging off my neck by the brain stem and a pinched vertebral artery. I had a blown L5-S1 disc. And the surgeon that finally operated on me after 45 days, very reluctantly, said it was because of my own attitude I needed surgery, even though he said I needed it before the car accident because of just wear and tear, heavy lifting, working long hours, etc. And I was also a very active athlete. So I got finally another disectomy in 5.5 years later by a doctor who said, when I had to beg to see this guy to my physician, he wouldn't send me. So I finally demanded to see him and he wouldn't. So I put some pressure on him and I got to come and see an ethical specialist here in town. And he's a Harvard graduate, top of his class, one of the leading neurologists in the province. A very decent guy. He wouldn't have anything to do with this. So I demanded to see him. And the minute I walked into his office, he said, Jesus Christ, they're killing you over there. Do you know why they're doing this to you? And I said, yes, it's the money. And he said, you're absolutely right. They do this 90 to 95% of the time. There are significant injuries and insurance interests. And my jaw dropped because coming from a medical professional, like a surgeon or a neurologist, you know, one of the top of the medical field, that statement was profound. So I told him so. And he said, yes, anyone involved in this that's taken a medical oath should be in jail for decades per case. And I said, yeah, it's like attempted murder or murder. And he said, it's not just that, it's a crime against humanity, an atrocity. And then he said, don't worry, it's over. I'll save you. I'll send you to somebody that'll have nothing to do with this. Now, I've been a single father for as long as I, you know, as long as this has been going on. And
so, what on earth is that? What on earth is that scraping sound, bro?
Oh, sorry about that. I was just dusting something off of my screen so I could see it. There's some static and dust flying around because I did something a little earlier. I'm an artist. I'm in my art studio. Sorry. I won't do it again.
Okay, back onto the professional radio.
Yes, right. Yeah, sorry about that. What happened was this guy basically put himself on the line and he said that there was a clear neurological trail of wasting and the radiograph supported the diagnosis. And they'd said there wasn't a fragment of bone in my vertebral canal. And the first surgeon had left this thing there deliberately in concert with stereotypical clinical commentary designed to prevent you from your due diagnosis and compensation. So you see, it's a blatant conflict of interest that the insurance corporation is owned by the same people that own and run the medical and legal systems in their entirety. So I said, well, thank you. And I left with a surgical appointment. He sent me to one of his colleagues who also said that this was a conspiracy and that they were trying to kill me. And he also showed me the fragment of bone, which was glowing electric white on a jet black contrast. And the stereotypical clinical commentary that was used to deny me diagnosis and treatment. It was like a code between specialists. So we have a system up in Canada called universal healthcare, and it universally screws 90 to 95% of this is what it does.
Except it doesn't screw the Americans that come over the border, though.
No, well, if they're paying, it's a different situation, and it's with no liability, no financial attachment. Like, we're kind of like livestock in a master-slave society or slaves. If one of your cows trips in a field and breaks his leg, you don't give him all kinds of expensive diagnosis, treatment, therapy, you know, compensation. You just put him on the dinner table or into a butcher shop, and away you go, you see? It's like that. And when they showed me this, and they were very good to sort of point out the mechanisms, like the most critical mechanisms, they were gesticulating wildly. They knew as a filmmaker, and I'd already vowed to expose this system, and they knew that. So I told my physician in confidence after they gave me the surgery, so after 5.5 years, and I went up to him and I said, I told you it was a conspiracy. Look what these guys said. And I said, you've got to think about your soul. And he said, I can fix you or I can fix 95% of my other patients. And I have 14 years college or medical school tuition fees to pay off. I have a mortgage, a car payments, kids in college, a wife who likes to shop, and I can't afford a divorce lawyer. And this business isn't making me any money. I have to wait 4 months for your payments to come in for your doctor visits. And I said, well, you've got to think about your soul. Like, this is about, you know, it's not about what you can take with you when you go. You don't need to have so much. You know, you can scale down. This is about your soul. And he actually went, I said this to him as a friend in confidence. He went to the College of Physicians and Surgeons, told them what these two specialists had said, and they ripped away their licenses. They revoked their licenses to practice medicine. So this is how the college perpetrates organized crime through the medical system, the medical mafia, against the patients. It's like judicial, government, regulatory, and executive perpetrated medical, legal, insurance fraud and racketeering.
So can I say, basically, instead of being let's use that mafia thing. Instead of having black trench coats, they've got white doctor's coats, right?
Yes, makes it look much more credible. Yeah.
Right, and instead of instead of like the $10,000 Valentino suit, they've got a such and such $100,000 education. And yes. Instead of having a gun, they've got a scalpel.
And a pen.
Yeah, and instead of pimping cocaine, they're pimping all manner of other psychoactive drugs or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's really no comparison that would run shy. I mean, think about how many bodies you can fit in the back of an ambulance. Think about how many bodies you can fit in the back of a Cadillac. It all matches up.
Yeah, good Exactly. The drugs that they actually prescribe you to mask your symptoms are opiates like OxyContin or whatever it might be, morphine, Dilaudid, whatever these things are. What they do is
I hope that they're Afghani grade.
Well, I'm sure they got them from Afghanistan after they invaded in 2001. I think that was one of the pretexts for the Trade Center towers coming down. You know, they had an agenda there, and it wasn't just oil or a geopolitical agenda. I think it was about getting control of the opium poppies because the Taliban had outlawed it.
Oh, yeah. For the first time ever, you know, you have a look at these statistics and stuff like that and these bar graphs and stuff like that. The amount of heroin being trafficked out of Afghanistan has always been really, really high. And then there was that one year that the Taliban were in control, and it was like nothing.
Yeah, down to 4 to 7% it was, and after December 2001, when the coalition troops, which are really terrorists, went in, it went up 2,400% over the next year.
Yeah, it went up 400% in 1 month, the first month.
Yeah. So the drug is designed to mimic to trigger endorphins, the sort of thing through which you got from satisfaction of going to work and feeding your family, loving your family, helping them thrive. And now you've given it to a patient, so they get it from a bottle. And all they need to do when they start to hit a crash or a depressing point, or they're subject to medical malice or attrition, etc., all the horrible things they do to you through the system, they just reach for a bottle, open the cap, and take a pill, and it gives them these endorphins. And it also triggers a thing where it causes addiction, because that has to be an increased dose on an incline, or it's not doing that anymore. It leaves them in this, end up in the nothing too, that you described last night in the never ending story there. You end up in a mental nothing, you know, and a familial nothing and a social nothing, etc. And they won't diagnose or treat these patients. Most of them die, unfortunately, and or commit suicide, or any number of horrible things happen. Some of them end up homeless on drugs. Some of them end up, you know, usually the family falls apart. The children don't do well anymore because of their experiences and the pressures that came to bear and the dynamics in their families that fell apart. And this is a horrendous and horrific thing that occurs not only in this province, but across Canada, with the complicity of the federal, provincial governments, regulatory agencies, like the Insurance Fairness Commission, the College of Physicians and Surgeons, the bench.
It happens with their complicity, but are they the originators of these ideas apparatus and these protocol?
No, they're just like a puppet organization, and it's a good point, they're kind of like a gang. And who did that were the people that came up with maybe crop insurance or fire insurance in Rome, or possibly even back in Egypt.
I should start having some kind of insurance as well. How about scumbaggery insurance?
Yes, very good idea.
If anybody commits scumbaggery against you or something like that, you get a payoff?
Well, you'd go broke in this world, because they've gotten rid of all the best people, the people of ethic. They're all blacklisted, terrorized, and pushed out of the vocation they were in, and they've populated them with psychopaths. So you wouldn't be able to make any business. You'd always be paying out.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing about racketeering as well. If you move into the territory, you have to start paying protection money, and protection money is to protect yourself from the people you're paying the money to. And it's not entirely dissimilar from any government organization. They are making you pay them protection money for your car, protection money for your house, protection money for your debt, protection money from your workplace, protection money from absolutely everything. And they ain't going to stop there, okay? Because at the end of the day, the mafia has a code of ethics. The mafia protects you if you pay them protection money. This is why I'd rather be governed by them than the government. But back in the day, if you know your Latin, govern, meaning control, meant meaning mind. So the word government means mind control. How about that? We'll be right back after the break.
Very good.
Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. Got nowhere to run.
New World Order theme song. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about fighting hopeless causes on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We talked last night about how you have to lose everything before you're willing to actually do stuff like this. And we talked about false flags and truthers and stuff like that. You know, what if truthers started pulling false flags, you know, and beating up protesters and pretending to be banksters and coming in and ripping people's houses off and stuff like that so you can activate people? And I was just like, no, never do that, man. Never do that. There's got to be another way. There has to be a way that doesn't connote the same methodology, the same mentality as the enemy, but uses a similar methodology. Like, let's say, for example, brainwashing. What if you were so good at brainwashing that you could brainwash children in children's cartoons into knowing what brainwashing is and knowing how to spot it and knowing that they are being brainwashed and suddenly becoming aware of it? You know, that's the kind of way I think. Is that you use the weapons of the enemy against them in the direct opposite format? Because that basically, if you have a look deep into the elite, okay, the main underlying principle of them is that they're very, very satanic, and one of the main tenets of Satanism is to do the opposite of things, to turn things on their upside down. You know how you say the normal cross has the top T. A little bit on the higher end, and the satanic cross is simply that inverse, so that the cross is down on the lower end of it. So that kind of thing. So they've turned everything that was once true and just and good and righteous and turned it into evil, complacency, stupidity, slovenliness, for lack of a better term, sinfulness, right? So all you got to do is take all those things that they're doing and do the direct opposite. And you will find the counteractive mechanism. And the thing is, in order to understand that, you've got to know how these people think. That's what people's problem is. They can't think like a psychopath. How are you supposed to beat them if you don't know how your enemy thinks?
Right. Well, you know that there's certain kind of use fear, control, and brave, despite the odds, like you were mentioning with the song when you came in there. That was brilliant. That's the thing. We, irrespective of what it looks like is going to happen, we should be ready to stand up and protect our women, children, elderly, and infirm, Mother Earth, her creatures, and ecosystem. And I founded the Canadian Coalition of the Walking Wounded and the American Coalition of the Walking Wounded with a few other injured workers, auto accident patient claimants, and it was done to design help injured workers, auto accident patient claimants, and veterans understand, survive, and fight ruling group government, judiciary, regulatory, and executive perpetrated medical, legal, insurance fraud, and racketeering. And we often have a lot of people from various walks of life in it. It's quite a colorful group. And these guys are quite articulate. Most of them, the ones that make it up there to get into the forums and stuff and then get active, are exceptional human beings. They're not in that lower 95th percentile at all. And they're, in fact, they're usually the top 1% insofar as thinking outside the box and intelligence and stuff is concerned. But they still have some very bizarre, eclectic behavior and character traits typical of their vocations, etc. So it's quite colorful. And they often come up with these same ideas, like what, you know, they're brainstorming as to how we can stop this from happening, how we can protect ourselves. And it's been quite an interesting go. So far, we founded the Canadian Coalition of the Walking Wounded on November 11th, 2008. We had a radio show that was censored off the air the very next day. So we had the Canadian Wounded uncensored radio was gone on the next day. Failures, etc. It's terrific.
You're breaking up a little bit there, mate.
Oh, okay. That might be. I can't figure out why.
If you have, if you have any other web browsers or email open or anything of that nature, that might be slurping down your bandwidth. And also, if you have your webcam on, that can reduce the effect as well. So if you just click that one off, we can resume it. The another concept that we're talking about, you're doing this walking wounded thing, and it's a great cause, and it's trying to help those who basically are victims, right? And you've always got to stand up for victims, mostly because a lot of the time the reason why they are victims is because they're incapacitated to stand up for themselves, essentially. Like if you saw somebody in a wheelchair being beaten up on the street and you knew that he couldn't protect himself, would you stand in and say, hey, leave that guy alone? Yeah, of course you would. You know, it's the right thing to do, provided you were brave enough. Right, a lot of people maybe not have that kind of compassion for their fellow man. It's the reason why we're in this situation in the first place, because we don't know how other people feel.
Yes, well, so psychopaths typically don't care, do they? So, if you have empathy, sometimes you'll stand up irrespective of the consequences. And I think it takes a certain kind of person, and they probably classified us from grade one on, or even kindergarten. And they see the kinds of people that will react in certain situations. They have a file on us, believe it or not, that goes right back to the educational system to the very lowest levels. I got that from one of the leading child psychiatrists in British Columbia. When I interviewed her, she said her file was 8 inches thick. And it was because she was an activist in college. When she requested it through a Freedom of Information Act request, it was blacked out about 80%, she said, and they would not tell her what was behind those blackouts. You know, it's government isn't your friend. They're not there to help you at all. It's a big charade to help perpetrate the master slave society globally. And I think it's really obvious that what they did to the indigenous population under colonialism, they intend and are doing to us under globalism. That means all of us.
I have this idea, and we expressed this last night, about how you can't rise up on your own because the other apparatus is still there, the enforcement arms, the mechanisms. Like, let's say you stand up against the medical system, the banking system and the police system will come and get you. Let's say you stand up against the banking system, the medical system, or the mental health care system, or the police, or the military might come and get you, and so on and so forth. It's like this this rolling point, like you're going through the labyrinth, for instance, and all the ways get closed off in front of you and behind you, and you only get diverted. So I was thinking, you've got your speciality. I've got my speciality. There's plenty of other people out there who have got theirs. And so I was thinking this. No country can break free by themselves. Doesn't matter whether they attack the politicians or the military or the banking system or anything like that. They have to cut them all off, like all the ties, like an airship that is being anchored to the ground by about 100 ropes. You have to cut all those 100 ropes, the whole apparatus that is working in your country, at the same time as everybody else in every other country, in every other sector, does it as well. Otherwise, you've got the trouble of the movement losing ground. You've got the trouble of people being having a retribution and things like that by New World Order agencies and violent contemporaries in other countries that will simply invade you and take you out, Libya or Iraq or Syria or any of these other countries that have been destroyed in the name of imperialism, as we all know, including the native populations of most of our English-speaking countries nowadays. So the point comes like this. You cannot, repeat, you cannot break free from the system until the whole system has been cut loose. You can't just go start using a different currency and just start living off the land and start doing this and that and the other without some kind of recompense from the rest. You know, we've all got to work together in our own areas. Like I said, the tactic of the cactus for every New World Order agenda, for every country, for every apparatus, for every agent of scumbaggery that exists within your country, I can guarantee you there is at least one person in that town, in that city, in that organization who knows exactly what the frack is going on and is willing to share that information with others to expose them and to have some kind of recompense for the scumbaggery that's being committed, okay? A cactus covers itself in spines from all directions so that no matter where it is touched, you will get a little prick to remind you. That's precisely what we should be doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've got a bunch of chicken needles, though. the little spines are all afraid to do their duty. Kind of like a bee in a hive would come out and sting, but only if it's really threatened or it has a purpose it has to. They might die if they do. So, you know, that's the thing. There's a lot of people afraid to die over this, and understandably so. We all have children. We all love and we're loved and have things we really cherish in our lives. Of course, each and every one of us probably feels the same way about our lives. It's a very personal thing, and it's not for somebody to just come up lightly and suggest that people should lay their lives down for something. But as they're urinating on all of our veterans' graves that fought and died or suffered in World Wars One, Two, every significant conflict actually since the French Revolution, because they were funded and armed on all sides by the Rothschilds, we have a duty and an obligation to stand up and protect our people and what they died for.
Mm. And I think every generation winds up having that challenge at some point. Mm. And they're like, oh, how come we're the generation that has to do this? It's just like, well, no, I think it's like every second generation or something has to lay down their lives for freedom or whatever. Because you're never more than one generation away from tyranny, because if tyrants get a hold of your children and indoctrinate them in schools, they'll grow up to be the tyrants of tomorrow. And we've got to be educating people in the exact opposite way, that they don't want to be dependent on government experts and things like that for their health or their political decisions. They should be doing their own research. They should be making their own deductions. And they should certainly be opening themselves up to alternative information. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It is the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. As well as being fluoridated, we're also Fukushima irradiated. And everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb with a government mandate of the Prime Minister, Federal Reserve Banker John F.N.K. to help the economy. Oh, the Prime Minister. And Canadians understand the term Prime Minister because it's act. My very special guest, Alex Hunter, welcome back, otherwise known as Captain Chemtrail.
Thank you, Vinny. And yes, we do. As Captain Kevin, I could put on a new hat now. We've talked about that other stuff enough. I think this is what led me into the globalist conspiracy. I understood weaponized medicine intimately because of the conspiracy here in British Columbia, which is allegedly insurance, quote unquote. So I saw that through weaponized medicine and studying it, trying to prove it was just injured workers, auto accident patient claimants, veterans, and other victims of medical malpractice, I soon began to see another picture. And I also was studying conspiracy, the Rothschilds and the Carlyle Group, Halliburton, etc. And I recognized a thing very early. In fact, it was before 2000. I saw, I bumped into the InfoWars and Bill Cooper. I didn't see Aaron Russo until afterwards, but I know that I'd heard that this was going to happen. Oh, Vampire Killer 2000 was a big one, and Michael C. Rupert as well. his CIA drug and arms dealing and money laundering. And the Vampire Killer 2000 thing just blew me away, seeing law enforcement and military people trying to prevent what has happened here over the last 11 years. And so I began to study weaponized medicine on as it pertains to that, and I'm now looking at all these poisons, and specifically the toxic, carcinogenic, radioactive, chemical, biological, advanced biological, nanobiopolymer, and genetic-technotronic assault on humanity that is sprayed on us through chemtrails, so aerosol, aerial aerosol assaults, also through naval and land-based aerosol assaults. If anyone wants to see a good example of how they make land-based aerosol, look at the TMC or TCM-65, I forget which it is, and you'll see a truck that pulls up on the grass or something like a big water truck, and it just pukes out huge volumes of aerosol. And then also what they're doing in the under the five-year plan for the Pacific Northwest is they have Uncle Sam's Navy. Uncle Sam is the fall guy for the Third World War, sort of like the Adolf Hitler for the Third World War. And they've got the U.S. Navy in their five-year plan for the Pacific Northwest dumping white and red phosphorus and depleted uranium in our ocean, which also makes aerosol banks. And those are Geneva Convention banned substances. Whiskey peat, white phosphorus, is a cousin of napalm. And depleted uranium, that needs no introduction. We just had one about glowing, etc. So you can actually see barium and strontium in the atmosphere when you look out the window. Vinny, you can actually see the sky probably if I just hold the computer right against the window. You can see all the HARP screen up there and all the ripple effect in the clouds and its electromagnetic scalar, etc. It's very typical here. And I've posted a bunch of to my Facebook sites and to YouTube in the last few days to show the aerosol assault on our school children as they go to school. So in September, it's not uncommon for colds to happen. It's like it gets a little cold, but these are winter colds, like the one you can hear in my throat right now, which has been mitigated by several sort of non-allopathic substances like naturopathic herbal remedies and vitamins, etc. So I know how to fend this stuff off, whereas most people don't. So they go to school and they get these bronchial and ear, nose, throat infections, which go down into the respiratory tract. And in some cases, it can be fatal. I mean, this is just really horrific stuff. For targeted individuals and investigative journalists, whistleblowers, activists, dissidents, and otherwise targeted individuals, what they can do is use a frequency through the, which they transmit through either the technotronic grid or through the HARP screen to spin or multiply those biological agents to a near fatal or fatal level. And it's a way they decided that they're going to silence and control us as they dumb and bring down the population. If anyone wants documentation on that, look at Zbigniew Brzezinski's book Between Two Ages: America's Role in the Technotronic Era, published in 1970.
I like to call him instead of Zbigniew Brzezinski, I like to call him the little old Brzezinski.
Yeah, exactly. The moldy Brzezinski. This guy here, he's bad news. He's one of the U.S. foreign policy advisors and war criminals, part of the Trilateral Commission and the Rotten Old Boys Club. But just a front man for the shadow government, really, like Henry Kissinger. Same thing, U.S. foreign policy advisor. And their statements from back in 1970 are, you can see that what they said they were going to do is happening now. Like Brzezinski said, with respect to dumbing and bringing down the North American population, he said, by the time we're finished with them, they'll barely partner our people's download news. And some to the effect, the intellectual gap between the ruling group and the ruled would be so vast that the very idea of rebellion would be as absurd as sheep deciding whether or not to have mutton for dinner. So these are some very telling things, and coming from people in government at that level, they should be more than alarming, especially as it's happening right now. You know, there's a huge increase in electronic censorship, sabotage, and outright attack on individuals who are putting out the brutal truth. And also, there's a whole bunch of just normal people going around saying they've got memory loss or people getting Alzheimer's or early dementia, and it just goes on and on and on. And those two things combined spell a pretty ugly picture for those of us paying attention. We can see this this is happening. I think one of the most ludicrous things is that after using conventional controlled demolition, nanothermite, and directed energy to bring down towers 1 and 2 on 9/11 and conventional demolition to bring down Building 7, killing 3,000 of their own people, the United States then went off and started to kill people in the Middle East, like to the tune of a couple million people so far. This is the estimate at the death toll so far, but it's probably a little higher. And that those people had this corrupt element in their government that they would pull a false flag attack on their own people and kill their own law enforcement and military their own first responders and the people in those office towers and whatever happened to, if there were real people that even boarded the planes, I assume they were probably remote controlled. What happens is you have these psychos in the government at the highest levels. They have absolutely no business having their installed puppet president, who isn't even an American citizen, making or passing a bill to say that it's legal for them to incarcerate, interrogate, which means torture, and assassinate or kill people for any reason, whether they be in the United States or not. We can't let this happen. It's intolerable, and it's clear we're under attack. There's no shortage of examples. And I think if we show those issues to the police, to the military and law enforcement, alphabet agencies, etc., and people in government, once they realize that what's really going on, they'll realize they're next after they participate in genocide, which would make them complicit to it, and then they'd be on a list as well. It's just a no-win situation for them. They're going to be killed anyway, so they may as well stand with humanity.
They may be forgiven.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think we have to open the doors to let some of them back in. They may have been compartmentalized.
They need to be undergoing strict psychological evaluation to determine whether or not they are psychopaths. If they are psychopaths, they cannot be forgiven. Psychopaths cannot be used by humanity in any positive format. Okay, I've not seen this. You know, the whole idea of Dexter. You know, the good psycho who only kills the bad guys. No. That's not how psychos work. Even in the military, where you'd think, you know, somebody who's psychopathic doesn't care about killing people, stuff like that. You'd figure they'd be useful. Nah, man, they detach from the ranks and they go off and they start raping people and stealing stuff. Okay, because they only really care about themselves and they don't care how they do it, right? You can't have those people around at all. But it doesn't mean that you're going to go and psychologically test everybody and blah, 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 blah. Somebody has to do something that really, really, really clicks off the fact that they are pretty likely to be a bit of a psycho. And more to the point, a little low-down psycho on the street ain't really of much consequence. You can hurt maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe hurt a couple of people a day. A psycho that has control of the US military can hurt all of us every day. And they are.
Yeah, especially in groups, big groups that are composed only of psychopaths. You know, who else would go along with this? I know my daughter, when she took psychology, she refused to participate once they started to try and steer her answers to specific questions. She dropped out. She just said, "I'm not, that's disgusting. I wouldn't have anything to do with that. What else is the matter with you people?" And she left her tuition and student loans and just dropped out of college. And I thought, yes, that's my baby.
Yeah, yeah, and I told you about that that time, Ian Wishart is an investigative journalist here. He's exposed like global warming and as a fraud and the UN's takeover and the world government and that kind of stuff. And they were doing this real positive Al Gore-y type UN-loving kind of lesson and class and stuff like that. And he stood up and said that the UN is a communist world government and they're going to try and exterminate everybody and use climate change as the excuse to steal all our money. And I said to him, oh, that's my boy. You know, it's just like, kids get it. Okay. And that's another thing I've found. If you raise kids in the truth, they don't know nothing different, so they're used to it.
Yeah.
It's us, on the other hand, us who survive to adulthood without figuring out that 9/11's an inside job and there's scumbaggery everywhere and there's a global conspiracy of people who positively do control the world and things like that. Because we've been brought up different and it's actually kind of painful to adjust into the new reality. So you go through these periods of depression and anxiety and loss of sleep and listening to angry talk radio show hosts for hours and hours and hours a day and getting your head full of all this fear and anger and depression and aggressiveness and energy. And basically, that's a transitional period, I think.
Yeah.
Like growing pains.
Yeah. I think the angry talk radio show hosts have their place, and they are good to have around.
Hell yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being angry in today's with what's going on, and so they do provide a vital sort of novice level thing, and in some cases still a good source of information.
Exactly.
So they have to be sort of bolstered with people like you and a diet, you know, a variety of talk show radio hosts.
Yeah,
I mean, they're like apples.
They're like apples.
Yeah,
apples are real good. But if apples are all you got, mate, you got to have some bananas and some pears and some peaches and some tangerines and goodness knows what else.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good to assemble it from a healthy diet of truth, not something else. So I think that's really a good point. The Angry Talk radio show hosts, in some cases, I've actually listened to them and I thought, ooh, that's really negative and awful. But he's got a point. So I kept listening. Then after a while, I found as I went down this path myself, and I you just get to a point where you realize everything at once, and it's just complete outrage. And you can see where some of these guys are coming from, though I didn't think it was very effective communication. I actually caught myself doing it the other day on the radio when I had to take a break. My co-host, and I just sat back and shook my head. But I got feedback from the mothers. The single mothers in particular, but some of them are just, moms that are really concerned, or grandmothers. And they're like, you know, that was really good. You were really hot. I was like, oh, thank you. I didn't really understand why, what it was they liked at first. And then I realized, well, we're standing up for humanity and for their kids and trying to protect them. Of course, they're going to like us. That's the kind of men they want. They don't want ones that are going to do the other thing. Not talk about it, etc. I had one of these.
What's
girls
interesting? What's interesting as well is I found my show is very appealing to women too. I've had a look at the analytics and things like that, and a lot of people share what gender they are and things like that on all these readouts. And about 45% of the listenership to the show are female. And most talk radio is a male-dominated field. It's very, very difficult to get women to listen to you. I don't know why they listen to me. And maybe it's because I'm very nice and cute.
Pretty funny, I think.
And pretty funny.
And you're really smart. You deliver it really well. I really love this show. I first heard you with Patrick Lynch on, I think, These Changing Times Radio.
Mm.
And somebody said, that's Vinny Eastwood. And I said, oh, I've heard of him. And then I said, is that him? Oh, he's really good. So I always wanted to get in touch with you. But then 8 million things overwhelm you and you end up just like, it's like we're getting washed away, drowning in this huge ocean full of things like squids and nasty suckers and things that attach to you. You know, so you get embroiled in these things and then you come back and, you know.
We're pulling a freaking Captain Nemo out here, you know?
Yes.
You know, this is what I've recognized is that your energy, whatever it is, whether it's your creative energy, your cooking energy, your chemical energy, whatever it is, your chemistry with other people, don't deny your abilities and don't refuse to help other people when you could help them without a terribly large amount of effort. And I keep saying to people, talking to people for me is not a hell of a lot of effort. because I'm good at it. Okay. So I talk to as many people as I can because it ain't that hard for me. And so a lot of other people do a lot of research for the benefit of a lot of others because it ain't that hard for them. We all do what's easy. We all do what we love. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Jammin'. A big monkey wrench into the mechanism of the New World Order scumbaggery apparatus on a daily basis. And that's what we should all do. In fact, I've got information for people. If you spend as little as 15 minutes a day exposing scumbaggery, it makes the other 23 hours and 45 minutes worth living. Oh, yeah. You know, kind of like if you're getting exercise, you know, I don't want to sell you an Ab Pro 2 machine or some Chuck Norris Total Gym or something. I'm going to sell you the scumbaggery workout, all right? So what you do is you find some description of agent of scumbaggery within your area. It's pretty easy. They're all got websites and stuff like that. And you send them an email just saying, hey, I know you're up to a little bit of scumbaggery. And you know, record yourself doing it and publish it online, you know, just 15 minutes of doing it. And you're like, I exposed a little bit of my scumbaggery today. I feel better, you know, my scumbaggery muscle's getting a little bit stronger. Fantastic, mate. It's all about a healthy lifestyle, okay? And do everything, what was it? Penny Bright told me, do something every day that scares you. And you'll find that you're not made of glass and you can survive all this crap.
All right. And if you get a little bit, you'll...
Sorry, what was that?
If you get banged up a little bit, you'll heal.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you get a leg taken off and there's no ice nearby. let's not get all flippant about it, because here's the point of fact that I've realized. There is a fourth dimension, maybe a fifth or fifth, whatever. You know, there's extrasensory perception, there's remote viewing, there's all this other stuff that may be unexplainable, maybe a spiritual side or something. Don't know exactly 100% sure, but other people seem to be 100% sure, and they're prepared to put that belief into practice. My belief is that that stuff can be taken into account, but it is the 3D world in which I live, in which I can die. Okay, so I'm not going to be stupid and think that the universe is just going to save me if I put myself in the path of a bullet and expect it to pass through me because of my sheer will and magical fantasticalness. That's freaking stupid. Yeah. You know, I mean, what are you going to do, bro? Pop a pill of cyanide and just go, I don't believe that the cyanide will really kill me. I am a universal protoplasm context of light shining through some description of Saturnian ring formation with asteroid alien cultures dug into it into the deep cores, and nothing can harm me. No! Gotta be fucking kidding me, man.
It reminds me of the God thing that drove the people into no man's land in war. They were going to get shot for treason if they didn't run in, because no one really wants to fight their dirty wars, do they? There's nothing in it for them, unless they were under attack and it was real. But unfortunately, they're under attack, and these people are funding both sides, usually, as of the last few hundred years. So to get people to run in no man's land, they had several techniques. One, if you don't, you will, but you're definitely going to get shot if you don't do what you're told. And then number two, they had God. You know, they could have this God thing, and they could just, I'm a Christian, so, you know, I'm okay. I can just kind of do this thing, and those bullets are going to go around me, you know. They'll probably outline my body on the brick wall behind me.
It's like the scene on Pulp Fiction. No, I want you to acknowledge that God came down from heaven and stopped these motherfucking bullets.
That's right. That was an excellent movie too. Well, there it is. That's the kind of thinking that gets people killed.
It's also the kind of thing that gets people shot in the face. in the back of a car.
Yeah, and in some cases that's going to be necessary. I mean, I hate to try and tell people that in World War III is not going to be carnage. It's going to be worse than ever. You know, more death than ever is about to befall us, and the longer we sit here, the more so that is going, our deaths are going to be. And another thing is we're going to be more and more sick as time goes on, and we're going to have a very hard time preventing anything from happening if we're really ill. And just to give you an idea of what happens when people get ill and how, this bacteriological warfare and technotronic warfare in combination, it's a binary thing. What happens is you start to get one thing after the other thing after the other thing. It's usually aerosol-borne, but it could very well be water or food. What happens is as your immunity is trying to fight this stuff off, it becomes overwhelmed at a certain point in time. You just can't get everything from it. It's really cool right now to balance gate. Always vitamin A and vitamin D3 to restore the mucosa, which is the barrier between your insides and the outside world. Magnesium to repair damaged nervous tissue, brain, neurons, etc. for people that are under electromagnetic attack. There has been an increase in electronic censorship, sabotage, and outright attack. So the outright attack is a large part of how they're going to pull this off. They have the ability to mind control people. They have the ability to make people very ill, and they can squeeze people's hearts. There's a list of 50 different things that that they can do to you. And those Barry Trower videos, I sent you one the other day. They're very, very hard to watch and understand because there's a list of 50 different afflictions that they can cause with electromagnetic, microwave, and or psychotronic warfare. Those things are very important to know, because it's important that you recognize when they're happening and try and understand what you can do about it. Very often, you're not sure if it's biological or electromagnetic or both. Also, often through the aerosol assault here in mainland Pacific Northwest, what we notice is that the components are very cyclical to cyclical and sector to sector.
Hold on a second. Are you saying that the components and the sectors go on?
No, the components of the aerosol assault, the weaponized components of the that are in the aerosol, so whether they be microbial, bacteriological, whatever they are, viral, they're varying from cycle to cycle and sector to sector to keep us all sort of, it's a psyop, keeps us all fractured, like you said. And what that is designed to do is stop us all from being able to nail it down and say, look, this is definitive. We have a clear case of these health conditions right across the country. And as the government's in charge of these things, then you can't really get those demographics anyway.
I was just thinking, if you're trying to think about something like really, really intensely, and somebody's talking at you and they're distracting you and you get really angry and you can't think about what you want to think about, is that what the technotronic grid is there to do? A constant little voice distracting you, in a way.
Well, yes, but they can also take lobes of your brain. Like picture if you put your two fists together and the thumbs point toward your face, that's your brain stem, and the frontal lobe would be the small fingers. So you've got your two fists together, knuckles to knuckles. And what you can do is lift the two front fingers. That's your conscience, like your frontal lobe. Picture it being turned off. Then picture the other fingers all being shut, and just the back thumbs on the brain stem, the reptile brain. And then they very angry in the chemistry in your brain and agitating you, making a flight or fight response, or making whatever cortisol. It's a chemical that the brain will dump, and then all of a sudden you'll feel enraged. And they can do this to a human being. Now, if the person's trained to kill, it's not a good thing, and especially as they're genetically altering human beings to wage warfare without conscience. They also have helmets they put on them now that is accurate within a square millimeter in the brain that'll paralyze certain parts of the brain. There's all this technology, cloaking devices. It's just so advanced, people don't even have a clue. Well, what people see is alien aircraft in outer space. case. I used to think they were, you know, out there, but I didn't close my mind to it. I just thought, well, it's possible. But I was lying on a picnic table in the Okanagan, which is in the mountains, in between this province and the next one east, Alberta. And it's this beautiful place. It's kind of like Hawaii, and I'm lying on a picnic table in the evening looking up at the sky. It's about 12 o'clock, and I'm exhausted, and my back was killing me. I just had spinal surgery after 11 and a half years. I finally got taken out of surgical urgency, and I was just lying there enjoying being off painkillers and breathing what I thought was fresh air because it was kind of clear. And then I leave that holiday tourist trap alone for a couple of months at peak season, so you can actually not see too many chemtrails there. I'm lying on my back and I'm watching satellites, and suddenly I see something whiz through the up in the outer space, whiz by at an incredible rate of speed, and something else seemed to be following it. But it turned at a very, very sharp angle, and it was going twice as fast. And the satellites looked like they were going like slugs in comparison. And I said that there's a potential that they have unmanned aerial craft that go into outer space in order to keep domination of outer space, in order to control, take out satellites, etc. And then these would be remote controlled devices. That technology, of course, is there if you look at what else they can do right now. And I also remember looking at Roswell and thinking, isn't it intriguing that these spaceships that they got back then reflected our body styles of automobiles at the time? And then human technology being exponential in growth, we advanced in leaps and bounds. But the alien technology we're being shown when we see it has grown in a correspondent way to human technology. And if these things could come here from other planets, they wouldn't be doing that. So I think it's a safe bet to say that the people that we're really worried about are the ones Dwight D. Eisenhower tried to warn us about in 1961 in his 61 speech, his farewell address to the nation. It's the military-industrial complex. And that encompasses the mental health system that they use to silence and control us as activists, dissidents, whistleblowers, investigative journalists, etc. And the medical system that they kill us with under the guise of protecting us, the regulatory agencies for food and water, Monsanto being part of the military-industrial complex and former slave traders. It just goes on and on. So the deception is complete. And like you said, it's completely reversed. Everything is backward, as is the satanic agenda.
And I said that the idea was to fight against it and to sacrifice everything that you got. Reason being, not because you're brave or anything like that, but reason being you're actually afraid of the alternative. Because you know what would be worse than dying? A cage. Slavery. Servitude. Never being able to speak your mind. Never being able to eat anything that tastes good or has nutrients without government mandate. Being bossed around all the time and having no escape from it, having no privacy, that is worse than death. People would best get real with this situation. That is already here in some form. And if you think that you haven't seen the worst yet, watch out, because it is planned well in advance. And do you think that they're going to stop? I mean, think about who you're dealing with. Think about a ruthless criminal gang of sociopathic criminal masterminds. Maybe not even masterminds. If they're not the masterminds, then of course they just hire people who are very, very intelligent with their huge amounts of money that they've inherited from their other criminal mastermind forebears. You know, like Big Bill Rockefeller, for example, the Primarch of the Rockefeller family, who made a copious quantities of money in oil. Where did he get his money to invest into oil? Oh yeah, that's right. He was literally a snake oil salesman. Literally. This is what is going on here. And you think somebody who's got all the power in the world, all the money in the world, no people that are actually capable of just walking up to them, slapping them in handcuffs and stuff like that, practically immunity from law in every sector, power over the media to control things like this. This is how they think. They are not afraid of having us rise up or whatever. to a degree. I think they're probably, you know, crapping themselves right about now. But the point of fact is they've got all that insanity that goes with all that lack of justice, okay? If you, for example, had a parent that never, ever, ever disciplined you, you'd be an out-of-control little brat of a child, wouldn't you? You wouldn't know rules, you wouldn't know respect, and you go off screwing people up. But that's just a little child that can destroy a family or something like that. Imagine somebody with the same mind as that child with unlimited money and no conscience and the ability to kill and feel nothing. That's who we're dealing with here.
Yeah. The social engineering, the deception, desensitization, manipulation, brainwashing, mind control, all the different forms of it, like through the mind control mechanisms, through technology and information and communication, how they control the majority with those devices, like control of the media, complete control of technology through the Masonic order at the upper echelon. The technology that they've held back from us in science and medicine has to be one of the biggest threats. You're right. And they can use that to control these zombies that they're going to turn on us.
Mm, exactly. Well, I've said it many times. When a man starts to think of himself a god, he certainly starts to soon become the devil. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com and incidentally, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. To my neighbors up north. Even through the longest night, you shine so bright like the northern lights in the freezing cold north. Oh, yeah. My very special guest, Alex Hunter, coming out there from the chemtrail. Fabulous. In fact, yeah, we haven't told people about that thing that happened to you the other day with the nothing.
The nothing, yes.
Could you... lambast us with that, Bo.
Sure. Okay, so I was bringing the kids to school. They've gone to the School of Fine Arts here, and I was bringing them along the country roads, and as we drove closer and closer to the school, there was this horrific thing that was hundreds of feet high and the size of a county, this big gray nothing, just kind of dark gray, floating in like the color of pencil lead, you know, if you were to scribble on a piece of paper. Darkly, you know, heavily. And it was floating in toward the school and enveloping the mountains and all the trees and everything, right as kids are walking to school. And you see these little girls with their little lunch kits, because the school goes from grade 1 to 12, and they're walking along in their little pigtails, and, you know, they're carrying this little lunch kit with them, and they look up, and they kind of just, their faces... where they were recognizing there was something dreadfully the matter with this thing, they were frightened. And, of course, they hurried along to school to get indoors and probably forgot about it as quickly as possible. But maybe a few of the more intelligent ones, or whatever it is that makes people say things, decided to ask questions about it. And, of course, they'd be told very little. And they wouldn't have a feeling of security. And my children are wide awake because they've been with me for the last year, and it's been doing. They know what's going on.
Hold on, mate. You're breaking up there. All right. Try again. Yeah.
They know the significance of what they're seeing in the sky, and so they kind of look at it. We're filming it and photographing it. We're drawing attention to it. We're trying to get the parents to look. You know, and I'm making a big point of focusing the camera on things. And when I'm not driving, of course, and the kids are hanging out the windows with their cameras, they're in photography. And we're telling people what they're doing to our children when they're going to school. And, of course, there's a corresponding health symptom always with every new cycle of spraying. But some of the symptoms my son suffered are neurological. Like, on some days, we lose the ability to speak. We'll reverse the second, the first letter of the every second word sometimes, like dyslexia or something. So you'd say bass backwards or something, but by accident. Also, sometimes he just mumbles. Sometimes his left side gets paralyzed, like his neck and his shoulder lock, and he has to lie down. Sometimes it's his whole body, and in some cases, he stayed down there for 3 days. The bones on his sternum have popped up on one side by about 3/4 of an inch on his left side, right near his heart. And that seemed to be a reaction to minocycline, like an antibiotic from these sicknesses. And then whatever, I don't know. I also had a reaction to an antibiotic at the same time as he did. Mine was minocycline related. And I ended up with hives, and they were so bad you could feel the sides of your body itching as well. Her reaction was so bad the skin was coming off my hands when I scratched. On my hands, and I tried not to scratch anywhere else. It was just horrible. So we've then found out that there was something wrong with our water after that on our farm. It had a huge level of chromium and, of course, probably barium and aluminum as well. But when we went to get the test results, the woman who's from the health authority was at first really cooperative, and then suddenly she got really kind of quiet about, you know, she wasn't as helpful and willing to give us the results. We had independent tests done, and what we found was, as we tested water all around Vancouver Island, like the tip of Vancouver Island, Victoria, we found that the guy at the lab, the independent lab, said, well, it's all coming up neutral, like it's fine, it's within safe ranges. And I said, well, it reminds me of the 2000 election. Is it possible they have a computer software program that would give it an automatic pass or flip the results? And he said, oh, you're freaking me out here. Yes. So I said, I thought so. So we needed independent analysis. The significance of them censoring science since 2001, when George Bush was installed after they rigged that election with electronic voting rigging software. And you look at computer programmer Clinton E. Curtis's congressional testimony of, or at least it's a court. He's testifying in court about it. He was approached by Speaker of the House, Tom Feeney, who was the governor of Florida, he was the Speaker of the House of Florida, where the governor was Jeb Bush, George Bush's brother. This man approached him to create a computer software program that would flip the Florida-Ohio black vote 49-51 in favor of Bush. Then this guy gets installed, 9/11 happens, a few months later he says all science has to go through Washington, and that from that point on it became propaganda. Many people have left the science community in their official capacities, or at least government science, because of it. The same thing happened up here. Our prime minister parroted that remark in 2003, all science has to go through Ottawa. And it became propaganda. And you'll see this around the globe under the global green dictatorship and global warming. They're taking over the whole globe, as we know. And science is no longer science. So you can't get independent tests that are actually accurate if they're being governed and regulated through some kind of software program. Mm. And we couldn't prove what was going on.
I was just thinking, you know, you can't have global warming without global war.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, there's always a word. It's fine very often that they're deliberate. Oh, isn't it a coincidence that what they're doing, what they did, these all these horrific forms of injustice and genocide, residential school abuse, surgical experimentation, sterilization, so really diabolical social engineering, et cetera, that they did to the indigenous community worldwide under colonialism, they're doing to all of us now under globalism. And I said that to my children and looked over, oh, isn't that a coincidence? It just fits right together, doesn't it?
I've got something so funny, real funny that happened last night. I recorded that video that we did, right, and put it on to process. I couldn't stay up the extra 50 minutes for it to process or something like that, but I stayed up an extra 20 minutes or something like that. And the washing machine in the next room was on, and I decided that I'd check how many minutes the video had until it was finished processing, 33 minutes. And then I walked past the washing machine. How many minutes do you reckon the washing machine had to go until it was finished?
33.
You can't make this stuff up. You know, well, something cosmic going on. It's just classic. And I was like, oh, my God.
When I contacted you, I remembered it was 11:11, and I said that. Remember I typed 11:11 into our recent Skype communication, and then the other night it was too, but I didn't want to freak you out and do it again. I was just like, but when I see 11:11 or I see 9:11 or something, it sort of seems like, and if you know, it's not that you just, when you randomly check the clock and it just happens to be, you pick up your phone and you're going to do something and, oh, look, the kids and I seem to recognize it as being a good sign.
Yeah. And this is the reason why the elite plan all their events on these dates and times and things like that, is because those times have special power, significance in their belief. And I'm going around and living life flippantly. And I'm noticing that these things are simply signifiers. Like on average, if I'm sleeping in or something, I'll get up at around 9:11, or if I'm going to bed early, I'll go to bed at around 9:11, or something similar, you know. Or I'll go to bed and I'll notice that the time is 3:33 a.m. It happens all the time, and it's weird. I can't explain it. I don't know exactly what's going on. But I'm not stupid enough to think that it has absolutely no significance and that it didn't happen, because I don't live in denial. I'll leave that to the Egyptians. All right. Well, anyway, Alex, thank you very much for coming on the show with us today. And you can check out his YouTube channel, ladies and gentlemen, youtube.com/CamptonChemtrail, as well as you have a tattoo one, don't you?
Well, my main one,
Captain
Chemtrail, just one.
Oh, you're breaking up there.
Sorry, it's a Joker tattoo with three O's on the end. So JOKERTATTOOO.
And that's Joker on tattoo. YouTube. Joker tattoo.
That's right.
YouTube with three O's. O's.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
And I also founded the Brutal Truth Movement. And that's, we have a forum starting up on Facebook. We only use Facebook for activism. And I have two other things that I run there. One's called FTNWO with an exclamation mark after it. And the other one is the Canadian Coalition of the Walking Wounded and the American Coalition of the Walking Wounded, which is CCWW, ACWW, World War III Global Domination and Population Reduction Agenda Advisory. So those are my three groups on Facebook. And my website never got off the ground. I just couldn't do it, all that stuff. You know?
Oh, well, you're doing more. You're doing more than enough, I think. Okay, don't you know, be too hard on yourself. All right, thank you, Alex Hunter, coming at us from the friendly winterless north. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. The archives will be posted on the YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. There won't be a social chat, or at least there won't be one involving me for the next 2 hours, because I've got two interviews scheduled after the show over the Skype. So we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening at American Freedom Radio.